Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by BKCW. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. We are 64 days away from kickoff, so tell us where you're checking in from, tell us what you're drinking, get your questions in, and tell us who your favorite number 64 was as well.
We're Casey. We're going to get this out of the way. We're Casey Hampton days away from the season. All right, let's move on.
Hey, you could be Casey Stuttered. It could be a battle of the Caseys at 64.
So let's their favorite 64. I didn't say who was the best 64. I'm just saying everybody's personal favorite 64. But I bet both of you will have the majority of the answers in those two Caseys right there. But hey, guys, it's a big day today. Decision day for a couple of prospects. Let's talk about that. Jerry, let's start with you.
Yeah, big day. State of California for Texas, really. I mean, look, Josiah Sharmer will announce his decision this afternoon. I believe that's 1 p.m. Central Time. I put out an article on Texas football a little while ago. Thanks for the super chat, by the way. If I'm putting my pick in now based on last night, I'm picking Texas over Alabama. Guys have to sleep on decisions. Bobby, middle of the night recruiting happens all the time. But I think Texas should be feeling pretty good about this going into the announcement. But I always say this. These kids have to announce. There's hours before they announce. So we'll see what happens there. But I think there was more confidence on the Texas side than Alabama side as of late yesterday. I'll say that. I think Oregon's third. And then Dejon Lee out of Mission Viejo. This one looks like it'll be Alabama. But Texas is more in it than we originally thought. So I'm not saying Texas is going to win it. Alabama's the favorite for Dejon Lee. But there's some connections around the circle of Dejon Lee in this recruitment that maybe we didn't give enough credit for early on or didn't learn enough about until after the official visit. But we do think Dejon Lee, the 6'3 corner, likely to go to Bama. This would be an upset pick if he picked Texas. But we do think Texas is – and maybe a little more in it than people thought they were. A lot of people thought it was just Alabama, Georgia. Wouldn't be surprised if it was more Alabama, Texas, and Georgia.
Hey, Jerry, you mentioned on Texas Football this morning that this would kickstart, you think, Texas recruiting at the defensive tackle position. Obviously, two key positions right now. Texas has no commitments. Brandon Brown is committed, but very loosely. But no real solid commitments for sure at defensive tackle or wide receiver. You think this would kickstart the process along the defensive front? Is that accurate?
I think defensively as a whole, I think, look, if Texas beats out Alabama for Sharma, I think that is that's a huge national win, and Oregon and Washington. So I think that would kind of be a big win for Texas in general. Especially with some big decisions coming up. By the way, I have a little more on that. I spoke with Aiden Anding from Ruston yesterday. He had been saying he was going to announce Saturday, tomorrow. Now it looks like it could be Monday. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday, but he's leaning more to Monday now. Then you have Smith Aropo from Alef Hastings, the four-star edge, who's scheduled to announce his decision on July 1st. I think this could kind of start some momentum if Texas can win this one today on the defensive side of the ball. I was going to bring up a question somebody had here. Hold on. I don't know where that was. Somebody asked if I thought Sharma was a lock for Washington. Sharma was committed to Washington when Kalen DeBoer and Courtney Morgan were there. Then they went to Alabama, and he's been on campus at Alabama three or four times now, kept the official visit. He did visit Washington, but I'm here to tell you, if he picked Washington today, that would be a real upset in recruiting. I think that would surprise Texas and Alabama and probably even Oregon if that happened. Now, surprises happen in recruiting, but that one would be a surprise to Texas and Alabama.
Hey, you're watching film right now of him, Jerry. You could tell why he's so desired. He's just an absolute massive body, yet retains that quickness on the interior that people just like to see. He has some natural strength. He looks like he has some pass rush ability to him as well. The guy that you keep comparing him to that kind of blows my mind is old Casey Hampton's running mate, Sean Rogers, out of LaPorte many, many years ago. This guy, Sean Rogers was so athletic to be that big. And you think that Josiah Sharma is in that same category?
I do. I think he's that level athlete. And I say that because, Look at him now on tape. Now imagine him at a college strength and conditioning program with some continued technique development. He doesn't even line up in his stance consistently here. Sometimes he comes off the ball high. Sometimes he's mid pad level, but he doesn't even fully understand how to maximize that elite high end athletic ability. It's not just first step quickness. It's first and second step. He is a guy that's going to be a disruptive player. He has a frame. You're talking about a guy that's 6'4", 320 right now, 80-inch wingspan, 10.5-inch hands. He's got all the measurables. He's got some natural strength to him. He's got quickness. He's got – watch him run down the line. See, that's the stuff I'm talking about. He's going to be a 6'4", 340-pound guy. Look at the stance. That stance isn't even maximizing your athletic ability at all. Where is he going to be 2 years from now? I think there's a reason. I've always said this about Sharma's talent level. Think about it this way. Kalen DeBoer, Courtney Morgan, those guys had him committed at Washington. That was a really good early evaluation by Washington. They go to Alabama. Think about how many D linemen there are from Louisiana to Florida that Alabama can recruit. And he's still one of the top two or three on their board. That's how talented the college coaches believe this guy is.
Good stuff. Good stuff there, guys. And speaking of good stuff, our own CJ Vogel is down there at the Manning Passing Academy. And I wanted to show a couple of clips that he actually posted.
Hey, Blake, real quick. Jay Lee wants, because I want to bring up the super chat. Thank you, Jay Lee, for the super chat. Jerry, if it wasn't Sharma, who's the recruit you said couldn't imagine them being able to call Washington? No, it was the toughest call that Josiah Sharma would have to make would be to Courtney Morgan, the GM of Alabama football, who was at Washington, got him committed, to tell him he's not coming. That's kind of what I've always been referencing. Sorry if maybe I didn't say that correctly, but the toughest call Sharma will have to make in recruiting has always been to Courtney Morgan, the GM, who was at Washington, now at Alabama, and say, that's his best relationship, say I'm not coming. So that's kind of where that was at. All right, sorry. CJ Vogel is at Manning Passing Academy, which is an unbelievable experience for CJ, first of all, but he's got some great stuff from there already.
Definitely. And we'll start with this one from Arch Manning.
Arch Manning. So that's Peyton and Eli sitting there working with all these quarterbacks. Every throw, every drill, Peyton and Eli are involved. We're watching Arch Manning here at the Manning Passing Academy yesterday. CJ Vogel there in Thibodaux, Louisiana. Look, it's a great experience for CJ. I'm so excited he's getting to go down there. And here's Quinn Ewers, obviously. I was saying this yesterday, Bobby. Besides just watching Quinn and Art, seeing how they continue to develop and seeing them working with Peyton and Eli, TJ has a picture with Quinn Ewers and Bill Belichick yesterday, posted on social media as well and on Texas Football. But just think about being able to watch Quinn, Arch, Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart, Graham Mertz. You just go down the list. Garrett Nussmeier, Connor Wiegman, all these top quarterbacks in college football. It's almost like going to a Nike camp, Bobby, when you get to see all these quarterbacks take reps back to back as high school players. But now you're watching the best guys in college back to back to back take reps, and you're watching Eli and Peyton coach Arch and Quinn. Pretty cool for CJ.
It really is. It's cool for college football, to be honest with you, because it creates a camaraderie among those quarterbacks. Dylan Gabriel there as well from Oregon. There's just a number. Will Howard, the former Kansas State guy, now at Ohio State. He's there.
Hudson Card.
There's Arch. What's that?
Hudson Card.
There's Hudson right there next to Arch and Quinn a little bit. I think that it's a great thing that the Mannings do down there. For college football, it literally, to Jerry's point, it's like the Elite 11, but it's college football. You know, it might be the EA Sports Manning Passing Academy, to be honest with you, because if they went down there, they'd have a field day, because that's what they'd all be doing, right? I love it. Great for CJ to be able to be down there. He's getting some video of not only of the man of Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers, but also all the other quarterbacks that Texas might face this year. So we can show you guys a little bit of how those guys look even. So I think that'll be interesting. Hey, Jerry, before we go back to anything further, I wanted to mention this because we did not mention it out of the gate. So Dijon Lee, the cornerback out of Southern California, he announces at 1:30 today.
Yeah.
Sharma is set for 2:00. Is that accurate? I believe that.
I think it's 12:30 and 1 Central time. Okay.
All right. We'll double check. Blake, let's double check the time while we're on today so we can give a final time to everybody. But I know it's in that time frame.
Times around for broadcast purposes, obviously.
Yeah, they're moving them around. And so my point to you guys, though, is we'll be here with you guys when those things happen for the live stream later today for sure. So we'll definitely be following it.
So some things I wanted to hit on real quick, questions for about Manny Academy. Is Jackson Arnold there? I don't think so, but I'm not sure. Trey Owens. So I think Trey will be there next year. Trey stayed back in Austin. He's throwing to all the Texas receivers with Quinn and Arch being down in Thibodeau for 3 days. Somebody had to stay and throw to the wide receivers. I think after Quinn moves on to the NFL, you'll see Arch and Trey there next year. So I think that's kind of that what happened there. Malik Murphy not there. Is the Manning camp an invite only for college quarterbacks? Absolutely, it's an invite only.
Hey, Jerry, I do have the firm time. It's 2:30 Eastern, so 1:30 Central on Dijon Lee and 2:00 Central on Josiah Sharma.
Yeah.
So 1:30 and 2:00 today. That's the current schedule. But to Jerry's point, we don't control the TV gods. So if they move it around, we'll have to be moving around with them. But we will definitely be here as well. All right. We want to say thank you to our sponsor, BKCW. Each and every Friday morning's coffee and football brought to you by our friends there at BKCW. Did your business have a frustrating insurance or employee benefits renewal? Most likely you didn't hear from your agent all year. And then right before it was time to renew, your agent delivered the bad news of a rate increase with no time to look for other options. When this happens, the agent is providing no value and you're stuck in what we call the insurance trap. That's not where you want to be for your business. BKCW takes you out of the insurance trap by providing actual risk management consulting, not just price quoting. Operating out of its headquarters in Austin and owned by UT grads, BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risk and employee benefits. BKCW has a risk consultants that specialize in many different industries, from construction and camp transportation companies to nonprofits, school districts, etc. You'll get matched up with someone who knows your business's risks and can help you escape the insurance trap. Get started with a free risk assessment at bkcw.com or send an email to info@bkcw.com to get started and get the support you and your company deserve.
Question here I wanted to answer. Yes, we will be on live during those announcements
today. Hey, speaking of announcements, Texas football, you know, is not the only one getting some announcements that pertain to them, possibly. Jerry, yesterday basketball reeled in a big one. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Arthur Kaluma, the 6'7 college stretch four from originally Creighton, transferred to Kansas State, now transferred to Texas. Big win over SMU in reality because SMU had a much bigger NIL package. Arthur Kaluma actually went to Texas for more of the basketball reasons, which that came down to the wire. But I think Frank Hay does an unbelievable job presenting offensive basketball. I think he does a great presentation, does a great job with guys. But that was an interesting recruitment because early on, about 3 weeks ago, teams were scrambling to see if they could get him in academically as a transfer. It didn't look good maybe for a while. Then it has. Then maybe some things were discovered as far as transferable hours and such. Then it worked out. Then it came down to, okay, Texas, somebody was going to make a big NIL offer, and Texas wasn't going to be able to go that high. So was Kaluma still going to pick Texas at that point in time? And he did. So we get past that. From a basketball standpoint, I mean, he instantly vaults Texas up at 2 or 3 or 4 notches in all the rankings, wherever you see that. But look, he's a guy. He's a 6'7 forward. He can stretch the floor. He's a good rebounder. He's 6'7". He's not going to be a shot blocker, rim protector, but he gives you another rebounder. He gives you another stretch player. The interesting thing with Texas to me, I think they've done a very good job assembling a roster. I'll say that, very good job. I think the guards are tremendous on this team. They're bigger. They're more versatile. You have more guys that can go get your own shot and not turn the ball over and melt down when the shot clock is running down. Jordan Pope can go get his. Trey Johnson, Tremont Mark, Julian Larry's a really good point guard, great leader, good size. So Jordan Pope's a really good shooter, shot maker, guys. And Mark and Trey Johnson. The interesting thing is going to be, as this kind of Texas tries to mold this thing together, there's going to have to be some older players that defer to Trey Johnson at times. If they can bring it all together, they're going to be a really, really good offensive basketball team, or they should be. The parts are there. You can play small. You can play a small lineup with Kaluma and Jason Kemp, by the way, from Indiana State, who I've heard great things about since he got to Austin. Two stretch, college stretch fours you could play with three guards, two of those guards being Mark and Johnson, who are 6'6". Texas is so much bigger at guard. Kaluma was a big pickup for Texas. If they can make it all work, and that's always the question in college basketball, guys, some egos have to be set aside. You have to defer at times when maybe you haven't prior. You have to be willing to defer in some key situations. And on this time, on this team, it's going to be to a freshman, Trey Johnson. If all that can come together, they have some really good pieces to make a little run.
Hey, Jerry, David Williams wants to know, he thought he was a power forward rather than a small forward.
He is. He is a college power forward that can play facing the basket. Made 51 threes last year, shot 34.5% from threes, gotten better every year. He is a college four. Now, professionally, he has to be able to play the wing, which he can't do yet. That's why he's still in college. He's tested the waters, had to come back. He'll probably end up being a G League or overseas player for a while and see if he can truly develop that wing game. But he's a college four, same as Jason Kent. Those guys can stretch the floor in the ball screen game that you have to guard those guys at 22, 23 feet. So they've done a good job with the roster construction. Now they just got to bring it all together. And Kaluma is 6'7.25". He's not 6'9". 6'9" in shoes. Without shoes, 6'7.25".
Jerry, net it all out for us. The guys that don't follow basketball as closely as you do and other people. Is Texas going to be competitive in the SEC for a championship? Are they going to be in the second tier, in your opinion? Where do you think Rodney Terry has this group headed for next year?
I think Alabama is going to be really, really good. I think Auburn has a chance to be really, really good. They're so helter-skelter at times, but their roster is really good. We'll see. Mark Pope in Kentucky is going to be a threat. I think the guy's a tremendous basketball coach. What is John Calipari going to look like at Arkansas? They did some big things in the portal, but they got to bring it all together, right? Tennessee's always going to be competitive under Rick. I really like the young coach at Florida. I think he's on the right track with the Gators. So I think Texas is going to be top half of the league, which means you're an NCAA tournament team. Where they're going to fall within that, it's hard to say. I mean, with all the portal stuff now in basketball, who can bring it all together? I do know that Alabama is going to be really good on offense. I'm talking maybe the number one or two offensive team in the country with all the metrics. And Nate Oates has that style of offense that I really like. The question will be with Texas is if they pull it all together and Trey Johnson plays like a lottery pick, which he can be, then I think Texas can finish top five in the league. I do. Now, we'll see. They've got to pull it all together and make it happen. Could they finish four? Could they finish seven? Anywhere in there? Yeah, Texas A&M will be really good, competitive again. They got Wade Taylor back, a lot of really good players back. The SEC, while it may not be the Big 12, especially with Arizona and coming into the Big 12, the SEC is an athletic, competitive league. You have to have guys that can go get their own shots against athletes when the shot clock's running down. And I do think Texas is better equipped to go do that this year than they were a year ago.
I want to talk to you a little bit about this question from Zane Petty. Tell us about the defensive analyst we recently hired. He seems like a sark on defense. His name's Scotty Hazleton. Excuse me. Coach Hazleton comes to Texas after a four-year stint as the defensive coordinator at Michigan State. Of course, Mel Tucker got fired last year, so he's coming to Texas as a defensive analyst. Well, a couple of things on this. One, he's been a defensive coordinator at seven different stops in his collegiate career. He's also spent time in the NFL with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's been around some major college football, not only Michigan State, but Kansas State. He was an assistant at USC as well. So he's been around the block a little bit, Jerry. But the other thing that's important to note, this is on top of something else that occurred yesterday. The NCAA voted, and the administrative council voted yesterday to allow unlimited coaching staff members. They're not going to tell you who to hire and who not to hire and what they can and can't do. They can coach on the field, et cetera, whereas before they couldn't. So what does that do for Texas, and how aggressive is Steve Sarkisian going to be? As one person put it, this means that the special teams coach is likely going to be a true coach now, as opposed to a guy, and I'm saying this lightly, but Jeff Banks has always had his hand in special teams, but he's also been the tight ends coach, right? Well, last year he had a lot of help from Joe DeCamillis, who now is a full-time assistant at South Carolina. And so what that allows folks to happen now, in my opinion, is you're going to get better coaching on special teams. I think you'll get more detailed coaching in pass rush. There's a lot of different things that could go on with this new ruling. Scotty Hazleton, one of the first ones that Steve Sarkisian has landed on that same day, that very same day. I don't think the two are related. He's coming in as an analyst, but he will absolutely do that. I don't think Joe D would come back. He's out at South Carolina as a full-time assistant. So that's also a difference. He can actually go out and recruit and be part of that. He's actually part of the 9 staff members that are the recruiters as well as coaches. And I'm sure that that's going to bring with it a larger paycheck. So, you know, think about that for a little bit. But you know, I like the hire. 4 years there. Let's go to Rudy Serta. Has a question that Blake wants to talk about.
Well, yeah, I brought this up. I want to comment on this. Rudy Serta, thanks for the super chat. Did y'all see Billy Lucci say on a podcast with SEC Mike that Texas isn't ready mentally for the SEC? I have to say, if you watch Texag's radio the last 2 days, Billy's still not ready for the SEC. That's all I got to say about that.
Or just mentally ready, period.
Those meltdowns have been unbelievable.
Yeah, that's been fit for an asylum somewhere. They have gone overboard with this hire. I mean, look, Schlossnagel apparently they should not be surprised by this. He apparently had something in his contract that reduced the buyout if he went to Texas. I mean, if you're A&M and you're so butthurt about it, why did you even take him in the first place if you knew this could happen? Because you're desperate, that's why. So don't get mad at the guy when he goes and does something else. You know, the one that kind of struck me was where the Texag reporter was talking about how he did things for the university and for them, and they were in his wedding, and how could they do this? Look, Steve Sarkisian, I frankly think Steve Sarkisian is great for the University of Texas. I think Chris Del Conte, great for the University of Texas. At the end of the day, it's a job for those guys. You know, Jerry, you've worked for ESPN, right? I've done work for all these different networks as well. If another network comes and offers you twice your pay and changes your family and where you want to be, what do you do? I mean, these guys, these coaches are not fans. And to expect them to be fans, or because they talk to reporters, they're all of a sudden changes their life. That's not how it works. That's not the real world. I mean, I'd love for, you know, them to hate A&M as much as, you know, most fans do and vice versa. I'm sure A&M, you know, clearly wants their coaches to hate Texas with the same vitriol. But it's just not the reality of it. These coaches have to coach. Their job is to coach and win games, period. It's not to be the fans' best friend.
But, I mean, yeah, I agree. And, look, it's the other thing. The reason I brought up that super chat was also that, you know, all this chatter. I mean, I think it's chatter. I don't think A&M's is dumb. But the talk of going to the Big Ten, isn't that you saying you're not mentally ready for the SEC? with Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, isn't that the real issue? I mean, so I surely A&M's not dumb enough to do that. That would be like recruiting death for them, especially in football. But just to hear the chatter of it, it's kind of rich that somebody's saying Texas isn't mentally ready for the SEC when half your own fan base wants to go to the Big Ten.
And to answer Kyle's question about, we'll keep people updated on Texas baseball portal over the weekend on ontexasfootball.com. The answer is yes, of course, for sure.
Hey, they got a commitment yesterday. They stole one from the Aggies. Maybe that kind of irked them a little bit too, huh? Like a pitcher out of North Carolina that was committed to A&M, now committed to Texas. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is correct. The question is, and excuse my voice, but the main question is, will he ever step foot on campus? He perfect game rates him as a 10. 10's the top grade, and a 10 for perfect game rankings mean very high draft pick. So we'll see what happens there. We will see. Something else that we need to see, Jerry Hamilton, is your read of Manscaped.
So oh, boy, man. Look, I mean, the handyman's in hand. That I can tell you. It's smooth sack summer. Let's just point this out. Del Conte, Manscaped A&M this week, okay? Now it's time for you to take care of yourselves. Chris Del Conte can't take care of everybody. Ladies plus gentlemen, it's my pleasure to announce that Smooth Sack Summer is officially upon us. When you're playing in the summer sun, make sure you're groomed from pubes to bum. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped, you make the season your smoothest yet. The Performance Package 5.0 Ultra is the ultimate bundle to keep your boys downstairs cool while looking hot in that summer sun. Join the 10 million men plus worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use code ONTEXAS, all caps. Summertime and the trimming is easy. But once you get to that point, guys, once you put the 5.0 down, you got to have Manscaped's liquid formulations to keep that freshness even at the hottest summer barbecue. Introducing the Crop Soother, aftershave lotion and crop preserver, anti-chafing ball deodorant. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back. Manscaped.com, on Texas, all caps, 20% off.
Forgot I was muted there. EA Sports came out with some ratings, and they did top 10 offenses and top 10 defenses. Let's start with the offense. I'm curious to get your thoughts. Jerry, I'm going to let you read off the list.
Top 10 offenses. Is this EA Sports? Georgia, Oregon, Alabama, Texas, Ohio State, LSU, Miami, Colorado, Missouri, Clemson, all high school recruits in your top 10 offenses. Bobby, I mean, I don't know where you come out on this. I think the top four I tend to agree with. I'm not sure that where the order will come out midway through the season, but I do tend to agree with the top four.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if Oregon's move to the Big Ten, like Texas's move to the SEC, has any impact on this. I think Texas is in a little bit better situation than Oregon, actually, even though Oregon, for some reason, is rated higher than Texas in this category. I don't know. I mean, my take on it is Georgia is the most talented team in the country. They lost some really good players. I mean, they lost Brock Bowers, Jerry, who I think is one of the best tight ends, whether he's really a tight end or a receiver, is irrelevant in some respects because he's on the field just the same and so hyper-productive. They lost him. They lost Ladd McConkey, who I thought was a tremendous player. But they do bring back their quarterback. They get a new running back in as well. I think Georgia's fine. The ones that I actually take exception with at this point is one, Ohio State being that high with Will Howard as your quarterback, especially after what we saw, Jerry, in their bowl game against Missouri.
Yeah.
They were they looked like they had two left hands against Missouri. And so to think that you're all of a sudden going to be the fifth best offense when your last two games had been losing to Michigan and then losing to Missouri and your offense looking incapable, I think that's one. The other one is I really doubt Clemson's that good on offense. I don't think they have that kind of personnel. I think they have a good quarterback, but I think the quarterback's serviceable, not necessarily great. And then Miami, you know, Cam Ward is there, the transfer from Washington State now. But consistency at Miami has been an issue for 20 years.
Yeah.
Not unlike what it's been at Texas over the last 10 to 15 prior to last season. So we'll see if Miami actually, you know, follows through with that rating.
What's interesting, I think when we think offense, and I know people are saying it's a video game rating, but, hey, everybody has their ratings, right?
It's a video game, but it's a video game rating based on a lot of factors
by you and I and everybody else.
It's just out of thin air. Don't take it as a irrelevant factor, in my opinion.
So I think when people think about offenses, could you bring that graphic back up, Blake? When you think about offenses, you think about quarterbacks, wide receivers, running backs, scoring points, Georgia offensive line, and controlling a football game with a first round pick at quarterback. Oregon, really good wide receivers. Now we'll see if Evan Stewart comes close to maximizing his vast potential this year. Experienced quarterback, good backs, good enough offensive line, really good wide receivers. Alabama, that's a Kalen DeBoer bump, which we probably should get. What can he do with what? How much of a bigger step can Jalen Milroe take year one, the year two, starting with Kalen DeBoer versus what he would have done with the prior offensive staff? I think that's going to be pretty considerable. And their running backs are really good fits in DeBoer's scheme. Their backs are really good fits in that scheme. Then Texas. I think if Texas had the receivers had been in the program a year, right now the guys that transferred in, I think you'd see Texas number two on this list.
I think that's fair.
I mean, Worthy, Mitchell, Sanders, Jonathan Brooks all gone, right? Good offensive line coming back, right side. Well, that's just a different conversation. But they have the players in place. I think by midseason you could see Texas – go up a couple of notches here. But I think when people think about offense, it's just about quarterbacks throwing to wide receivers, scoring touchdowns, big plays, running backs. But Georgia's offensive line is really good, guys.
Bobby, I'm going to bring up the defense and let you read that one.
Top 10 D, this one I completely agree with. Number one overall, Ohio State. What did they have? Four guys that were draft picks return on that defense? And so I think that they could be as good as they've ever had at Ohio State in the recent past. Instead of their offenses leading the way, I think it may be the Buckeye defense this year. Georgia, number two, again, top three team there in Oregon, number two offense, number three defense. Alabama, number four defense after having the number three offense. Clemson, number five. Notre Dame, six. Michigan, number seven. I think that's too low for the Wolverines. Texas stops in at eight, Penn State at nine, Utah. Is this a legacy rating of some sort for Kyle Whittingham and what he does with defenses, perhaps? I also think Penn State may be lower than expected. They don't have quite the talent that they've had on the defensive side of the ball coming back this year. So we'll see how it goes. Texas at eight, a little surprising to me based on how much Texas fans and myself, frankly, are concerned about the Texas defense heading into the SEC this year. So I look at that, Jerry, and I don't know how you see it, but I see an Ohio State defense that deserves to be there. I don't know that Oregon deserves to be there. I don't even know that Alabama deserves to be there.
No.
How many corners did they just lose to the draft, as well as interior line? I don't know that there's, other than Ohio State and Georgia, is there a great defense? And maybe that's the drop there. You see a 96 overall for Ohio State, a 94 overall to Georgia, and then a 4-point drop to the next group.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would have Michigan above Oregon on this right now. I'm not saying Michigan's going to beat Texas. I think Texas is going to win the game. But I think Michigan over the course of a season defensively, I think I'd have them three on this list for sure. Right now, headed into the season. Now, so much goes on when you have coaching change, strength and conditioning, the whole program essentially. So do you keep the same mindset, mind frame? If Texas beats Michigan, what does that do to their psyche, right? So many things can happen, but talent-wise, Michigan's higher than that. And so it'll be interesting to see. I think Notre Dame's very interesting. They got really good corner, Benjamin Morris. They got really – I think they got good front players as well. Obviously, Texas fans here, people on – of the 5,600 people on this, and they're all Texas fans, but you're hoping Notre Dame's number one defense in the country August 31st. For 1 week at least. But I think Georgia defensively – what's interesting about Georgia defensively – I heard Greg McElroy say this, and I'd said this previous on one of our Coffee and Footballs, and I totally agree with Greg. Georgia's defensive front for that those two national title teams was amazing. Like four first-round picks, right? Maybe six guys drafted in the first four rounds total. This D-line they have is good, but it's not like that. It's still good enough to go win a national championship, but that defensive line was dominant. They are not that dominant up front, but they're good. But their linebackers are really good, and Malachi Starks is a stud at safety. And they'll be fine despite their defensive back losses because of the way they recruit.
Okay, y'all. One other thing that we need to talk about before we get to questions is it's right. I cannot believe it's finally about to be here. Texas officially joining the SEC, guys. A big celebration in tow in, what, 2 days?
Absolutely. Sunday, Jerry and I will both be there. CJ will be there. I think Rod's going to come out a little bit. Of course, all the SEC luminaries will be there. Paul Feinbaum's going to be in town. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, along with Jay Hartzell, Kevin Eltife, the president and chair of the Board of Regents, and all the University of Texas athletic staff, including Chris Del Conte, Steve Sarkisian, and on and on. Drop by. The festivities start at 2 o'clock on the south lawn below the tower and end up around 8:30, where I think I don't know that I'm going to stay for 8:30 when Pitbull starts. Jerry, I may let you have to stay there for that, but come on by. We're going to hang out a little bit. We're actually going to do a show from there at one point in time on Sunday, just to give people a feel for what all is going on as well. Around there, because I do think it's a special event at the University of Texas this weekend.
And if you weren't going to go before, I'm here to announce that on Bevo Boulevard at 11 a.m., Brandon Huey and Bobby Burton will be running the 40 against each other. So if you weren't decide, if you had decided you were going, I'm going to put a picture of Madden Faramo at the finish line and see how fast Brandon Huey and Bobby can run. By the way, I'm very Damon Graham's checking in from Orange Beach. Make sure and go to Floribama. It's the coolest spot ever if you're a college football fan.
All right, guys. Well, as I said a second ago, we're about to start taking some questions here, so get your questions in. And excuse me. I actually wanted to get y'all's thoughts on this. Let's start with recruiting. More of a comment than a question from David Williams. He says, Brandon Brown's uncertainty, although he remains technically committed, makes him by far the most important recruitment. I want to get y'all's thoughts on that.
I tend to agree. I mean, DeCorian Moore is, to me, like the must get. But I tend to agree because if Brandon Brown doesn't go to Texas, he's going to LSU. And that would turn this chat into straight fire, by the way. That's a big recruitment because I think Brandon Brown prefers Texas himself. I think there's – and he's a four-star D tackle, which I believe is underrated. I think he's top 150 kid in the country. I think he's a disruptive force at the next level. And I think he's a guy that wants to be at Texas. He's in the state of Florida at a school you've never recruited before, Egalley. I think there's a lot that comes with this recruitment, but I do think he's very important. Now, if you got Josiah Sharma today, which we're going to reset recruiting – and then you end up winning out for Myron Charles, which, by the way, FSU's lost a lot of confidence, as we've been talking about it on football, on Texas Football here and .com. Then, you know, if Brandon Brown went the other direction, you got DJ Sanders, you'd have three guys. But I don't think you want to lose Brandon Brown to LSU, Bobby.
No, and I do think that this is a little melodramatic, makes him by far. I think that's a little melodramatic. I think there are a lot of important recruits. For example, you know, you get Josiah Sharma and Myron Charles. Is then Brandon Brown by far the most important recruit? Maybe or maybe not. You know, do I think he deserves being a blue chip prospect and all this other stuff? Absolutely. So my point being, as it relates to that, is things can change on that, and it's not necessarily one or the other. And I think it could be a little melodramatic there, especially given that some other guys might make their final decisions beforehand that could mitigate that issue. I do believe that it's important, an important recruitment. We mentioned this, and we've got, Jerry, to your point, we've got a bunch of people jump on this video and podcast since we started. So we do need to circle back. Today at 1:30, Dijon Lee, a cornerback out of Southern California, will announce his decision between Texas, Alabama, and Georgia, half the other dozen other schools. Right now, it's expected to be Alabama, although Texas has some ends there because Steve Sarkisian went to high school with some folks that know Dijon Lee and his family really closely. And then second, Josiah Sharma, the big defensive tackle out of Folsom, California, that Texas has been after from the jump. He makes his announcement at 2 o'clock Central today as well. We'll be on a live stream today from 1 until about 2:30 probably, following and tracking those commitments. So keep up with this as well. That's all we know of for sure today in recruiting. But Jerry and I have heard some other utterances behind the scenes that things may domino on a player or two more today and or tomorrow as well. So we're going to be on the lookout for that.
And meaning dates are coming up. I mean, not today, but coming up. Nate Russ said, has Kalik Lockett given a decision date? August 7th. He put out a final five. If he gets it to 3, I expect Texas to be in it. He put out Alabama, Texas A&M, Florida State, LSU. Those are the final five. If he cuts it down to 3, I think Texas will be in it. If he cuts it down to 2, wouldn't surprise me if Texas is in it. Will Texas win it? We'll have to see. Somebody asked, let's see, there was a question I wanted to get to real quick. It was up here that I wanted to address. Casey has this. I read from knowledgeable post that Brandon Brown and his family have been influential in our way in recent increase in DT recruiting hype. Like I said, Brandon Brown, I think, really likes the idea of playing at Texas. That doesn't mean the entire family. There's still a person or two in that immediate family that like the idea of him playing for Bo Davis because of that longstanding relationship and Bo kind of believed in their kid when, you know, he had the offers, but some people were saying, is he tall enough, whatnot. So I think there's at least one person that's still in the Bo Davis corner of that recruitment. And I think Bo's done a good job in that recruitment from the start of it. But I do think Brandon Brown likes the idea of playing at Texas, but not the entire family's not out there working for Texas. That's incorrect if that's been reported.
Okay, guys, before we move on here, Bobby, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about Babbel.
Yeah, absolutely. Que tal? Buenos dias. The best way to learn a language, immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it each and every day. But if that's not in the cards for you this year, like it's not for me, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Did you know learning actually makes a sound? It's true. Listen, that's the sound of you learning a new language with Babbel. I get it every time I finish and or start a lesson on the Babbel app. I've started now. I guess I'm on lesson 7 of Babbel at this point, and I am learning Spanish in a way that helps me actually speak it and understand it. And it's kind of slowing down the process for me. Like many of you guys, I grew up in Texas, but I never really actually learned Spanish. It's more Spanglish for me. This has helped me get better, and I can feel myself getting better. I've got like 23 more lessons to go. So it should be interesting. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by more than 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time offer for our listeners. Right now, get set up with 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for listeners at babbel.com/onTexas. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/onTexas, spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/onTexas. Rules and restrictions may apply. Again, 60%, right up to 60% off your Babbel subscription with On Texas.
And we want to thank them for sponsoring. And guys, we got a lot of questions to get to, so let's just jump right in it here. Let's start with this one from E. Kim. He says, good morning from Rockford, Illinois. How much fun could this weekend be for Texas, including the SEC Welcome Weekend and landing football commits?
I mean, Josiah Sharma by himself would make it a great weekend for Texas football recruiting. I want to mention, because we kind of reset the show, but I want to say this too. Aiden Anding, the four-star on Texas football, four-star corner, is underrated by everybody else, from Ruston, Louisiana, Ruston High. I talked to him yesterday. I think he'd been talking about a Saturday announcement. Looks like that could be Monday now. Maybe he changes it back, but when I talked to him yesterday, it looked like it could be Monday for his announcement. I believe that would be July 1st. That also July 1st is Smith Orogbo, the edge, four-star edge out of Alef Hastings, which I think Texas has at least a 50-50 shot at, or I thought so yesterday, last time I heard anything on that. We'll check back in again on this weekend. But look, Josiah Sharma by himself would make it a heck of a weekend for the Texas football staff. There'd be much celebrating going on if Sharma goes Texas way over Alabama today.
And our next question, guys, is going to come here from – let's do this one from Juju Juice. Everybody's wanting to know about Myron Charles. Jay, what you got there?
Yeah, I've been reporting that here and on TexasFootball.com. We've been saying Texas chances were going up and FSU was losing confidence even after the official visit last weekend. I think Texas is in a pretty good spot there. You still have to close that out. I don't think a decision's expected until maybe second week of July. Now, these timelines are fluid, right? I think Texas is moving in the right direction with Myron Charles. I don't think FSU has as much confidence as they had 2 weeks ago. Certainly not as much as they had a month ago.
And then our next question, guys, comes from Eric De Los Rios. And he says, Jerry, could Texas be willing to let Pettijohn walk because they feel like they have a version of him in Ty-Anthony Smith, therefore leaving a spot open for Madden? Cunningham is the third take, regardless. Your thoughts?
I don't think Sark walks away from really good players, Bobby. I think the reality is, Madden, Foremo, Pettijohn, would they go to the same school? Probably not. Jonathan Cunningham, very good prospect in his own right. I love his upside. You already have Elijah Barnes in the boat, one of the best in the country. But Bobby, Sark isn't walking away from Foremo or Pettijohn. If they both wanted to come, they would take him. The odds of that aren't extremely high.
Yeah, I think you put it the exact right way. Sark doesn't walk away from talented players. He actually re-engages with them, if at all possible, Jerry. I mean, you and I, that is, we were talking about it the other day. I mean, there are guys that we're not even thinking about. And you and I had, I don't want to say dismissed Jonah Williams as a possibility for Texas. About a month ago, right? He just wasn't looking at Texas, seemed to be out of it. You know, fast forward 4 weeks, and all of a sudden Jonah Williams is maybe back in the possibility range. He's unlikely. He's unlikely.
We weren't thinking about the college coaching baseball carousel when thinking about football recruiting.
But the important part there, Jerry, is Blake Gideon and the Texas staff never quit recruiting him. And so who are those people going to be that we're not even thinking about? So to your point, and when he's asking about Riley Pettijohn and letting him quote unquote walk, that's not — Steve Sarkisian doesn't let people walk. Now they may walk, but he doesn't let them. I mean, if he thinks you're a special player, he's not letting you do anything. I mean,
here's the thing. Even if somebody goes a different direction right now, that means Sark will stop recruiting. We know this from his entire time and the staff's entire time at Texas. Recruit through the whistle. We started recruit through the whistle on this channel for a reason. Sark and these guys recruit through the whistle. And the whistle, somebody asked earlier, is December 4th through the 6th is the early signing period this year. So it's very early. Right in the middle of high school playoffs. Woo.
Hey, by the way, somebody asked — I think it was David Keith Williams — asked a really good question about when is the National Signing Day one. Jerry's accurate. It's December 4th through 6th. on a go forward basis, just so everybody knows this, because I used to keep track with the first Wednesday in February. That was always, when I was growing up, that was National Signing Day, right? First Wednesday in February. From now on, it's going to be the first Wednesday through that Friday after Thanksgiving weekend. So you can fast forward to the next 4 or 5 years, and that's the anticipation. The December signing period for high school recruits will be the first Wednesday through Friday after Thanksgiving weekend.
My question on that, how much sense does that even make at this point? So you have to bring in guys for official visits during the season. There's literally no after the season official visit. We can maybe one right before then, but how much sense does this even make at this point? I think it's dumb, personally. If you're going to let all these kids take official visits in April, May, and June, then what are we doing here? I mean, this now you're going to have it December 4th through 6th.
I think that by having it December 4th through 6th, this is what it does, okay, is it allows them to see the football season play out. And so if they don't like their decision, they like their decision in July and August after the official visits, right? But they haven't signed anything binding yet. But then they see the football season play out. They may actually change their minds by the first week of December, because there may be a coaching change, and it keeps the NCAA and the clearinghouse from having to go back and redo all that stuff, Jerry. I don't disagree with you in some respects, but that is the one thing it does give them. It gives them a look into the season to make sure maybe they've made the right commitment in that time frame.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. It's just I think kids should have the ability, if they want, to sign this week in June. If you're done with your process and you've made your 5 or 6 official visits, I think you should have the ability to sign in June. By the way, there's been some people that keep talking about the Jonah Williams thing and that he talks about Texas, even though he didn't make an official visit. I'm just here to tell you, a month ago, that was not good for Texas. Now there's more increased communication after Schlossnagel went to Texas. A month ago, he was not going to Texas, guys. And I'm not saying he is now, but I'm talking zero. Texas tried to get him in for a visit and they weren't able to.
Hey guys, we'll do another recruiting question or two, and then we'll switch over to some team stuff. And let's take this one, because I know a lot of people have been asking these over-under questions, from Noah. He says, Jerry, over-under, 1.5 public commits by the end of June, which is, of course, in 2 days. Over-under, 6.5 public commits by the end of July.
Second one, I'll take the over.
Hey, Jerry, if Aiden Anning wouldn't have moved it back to Monday, I think you would have taken the over on June.
Look, I mean, let's go through this real quick. Josiah Sharma is announcing today. Aiden Anning will announce Monday. Smith Irogbo is July 1st. Cade Phillips is July 6th. Nathan Tillman's coming up. Myron Charles is mid-July. DJ Sanders is early mid-July. You're going to have Nick Townsend's July 10th. I mean, if Texas goes on a run here, the 6.5 is going to breeze by that. If they go on a run here, so we'll see what happens. But I'll take the over at 6.5.
And then Ralph says, did y'all already say whether or not there will be any recruits for the celebration this weekend?
Not football. Dead period. If there are, Greg Sankey's going to be like, I'm Mr. Sarkisian. Would you come over here? We'd like to have a discussion with you. There's not going to be any football. It's dead period. Even though there's some schools that may not understand there's a dead period from what I hear, but there's a dead period. Or care.
As I said, we'll do one more recruiting question, then switch over to some team stuff. This one from David Williams. Bear with me here. It's a two-parter. He says, Michael Fasusi would be viewed as a loss if he didn't commit to Texas. However, I think Trevor Goosby will be dominant left tackle. I think he'll replace Kelvin Banks and become all SEC. Also, with John Turnton likely being an even better left tackle prospect than Fasusi, that must have an impact in Fasusi's loss not truly being significant. What is your view?
So we've had some Fasusi questions. I'm glad you brought that up. We've mentioned on here and on TexasFootball.com that Oklahoma, Texas, they, you know, there's some aspects of the Oklahoma visit that Fasusi liked better from what we were told. Obviously, Kyle Flood and that track record of development. Oklahoma selling that, you know, look, we're going to lose our guy. You can come in and play right away. I think Fasusi likes that message. Whether that's reality or not, I'm not sure. But I do think that's going to be a battle. He's not scheduled to announce until late August, maybe 22nd, 23rd, 24th in that area code. But I do think that battle would continue. But I think Oklahoma has a little momentum there.
Good stuff. Okay, guys, to transition over to the team stuff, I just saw PFF post this. And so I want to get y'all's thoughts on this. They put this up and they said, who is the greatest college football running back of all time?
Oh, this is a debate.
Yeah. So two Longhorns on the list, obviously, and Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams. And then they have Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker, Archie Griffin, Barry Sanders, and Reggie Bush on there. But I'm curious to get not only y'all's answer, but the chat's as well.
The chat's answer. Okay, you have to remove Reggie Bush off the list because he wasn't in the game on 4th and 2 in the national championship game. And he also tried to pitch a ball backwards. So he's out. I'm glad he got his trophy back, but he's out. Bo Jackson has the best 30 for 30 ever as a running back. Barry Sanders easily had the best college football season ever for a running back. In this list, not even close. Barry Sanders had the best year you'll ever see from a college football running back.
So I've actually had the luck being at my age of seeing all these guys. Granted, Archie Griffin was relatively young at the time, but he won 2 consecutive Heisman trophies. His second year he wasn't really. I don't think to your point, Jerry, Archie Griffin, it was not a dominant player. In my opinion, he was a good player. If I had to choose, I'm very clearly biased towards Earl Campbell, given my upbringing. But if I had to choose one guy that was the best running back I saw in a single year, it would be Barry Sanders. I thought Earl was a better running back than Herschel Walker. Herschel Walker was good speed, but ran too upright for me. Bo Jackson was more like Earl Campbell to me, and vice versa. Bo had better speed than Earl. Earl was probably a more natural runner than Bo, in my opinion, though. Ricky Williams had strength and speed, but he's more of that conventional runner. So I don't, even though he led at one point the NCAA in all-time rushing before he got eclipsed by Ron Dayne, the guy that I would pick, and it pains me to say it as much as I love Earl Campbell, pains me to say it, I would pick Barry Sanders in that category. I'll tell you the one that's not on here that should be, in my opinion, is Marshall Faulk. Marshall Faulk was a phenomenal college running back. Phenomenal.
You know what's crazy about that Barry Sanders season?
That was good too.
Yeah. Barry Sanders season of 1988. He rushed for 2,850 yards back when you played 11 regular season games and one bowl game for 12. Averaged 240 a game rushing, scored 44 touchdowns, and broke 34 NCAA records in one season. Mike Gundy was quoted on this in an ESPN article I'd read, but I pulled this back up. Gundy's quote on this was, if he were playing in today's offenses, he very well could have rushed for 4,000 yards in a season.
He's a freak. Earl Campbell, Hall of Fame. You know, I mean, I like him more than I like Herschel or Bo. And maybe I'm biased, but hey, I don't care. Right. That's where I would vote. As far as Barry Sanders, I just felt like he was so dominant. And like I said, the other one that I just don't think gets enough, you know, love is Marshall Faulk. He was a phenomenal running back too. And I know people are going to say, well, he was out west and playing in a lesser conference. He was, but he was all they had, man. He was all they had.
I mean, if you think about this, here's the crazy thing about
I would take Marshall Faulk every day of the week over Reggie Bush and twice on Sunday
as a running back. Let's think about this. The crazy thing about this list, if Bo Jackson came out of high school today at his height, weight, and 40, he might still be the number one player in the country, like Adrian Peterson, like Bobby Ray Peterson won. Herschel Walker, maybe the same, but I think Bo is another level, right? Ricky Williams would have been ranked very high, obviously. Barry Sanders and Earl Campbell. If Barry Sanders showed up at a Nike or Under Armour camp and was 5'8", 180, where would people rank him? If Earl Campbell showed up and ran, what, 4.65, 4.7, Bobby, at a Nike camp, if he gets up at 6 in the morning and drives down, doesn't really stretch, just gets out there and runs at 8.30 in the morning, where would he have been ranked? That's the interesting thing today when you look at where we're at today versus where we were at years ago. Somebody asked a great question. It's always interesting to look at that because with Barry Sanders coming out, there's one I wanted to get to. Authentic Life Change, Life Change LLC asks, where the heck is Brett Robin on that list? Brett Robin is in surgery probably right now performing surgery. He's very high on the list.
He's an orthopedic. We had him on the show a couple weeks back. I'm sure people are actually remarking a little bit about that. The other guy I would put, the one that doesn't belong on that list, like truly doesn't belong in that conversation, is the only one that has two Heisman trophies.
Yeah.
Archie Griffin didn't even lead the Big Ten in rushing his last year. I mean, he just doesn't belong in that category, in my opinion. Good player, doesn't belong in that category. Adrian Peterson certainly does, in my opinion, by the way.
And for guys on this chat, when you get some time, because we don't have time to go through it all, just go back and look. You can just search Barry Sanders 1988 stats. It'll give you a game-by-game of him. It's truly unbelievable to look at, considering who they're playing.
A lot of people weighing in. Good answers all over the place. Good conversation. Good debate. Okay, guys, before we move on, Bobby, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about BKCW one last time, and then we'll get to some team-related questions before we get out.
Absolutely. Remember, we talked about the insurance trap. BKCW takes your business out of the insurance trap by providing you with actual risk management consulting, not just price quoting. Operating out of its headquarters in Austin and owned by a UT grad, BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risk and employee benefits. BKCW has risk consultants that specialize in many different industries, from construction and transportation companies to nonprofits and school districts, as well as to On Texas Football. So you'll get matched up with someone who knows your risk and can help you escape the insurance trap. Get started with a free risk assessment, bkcw.com, or send them an email, info@bkcw.com, to get started and get your business the support it deserves and out of the insurance trap.
All right, guys, we got time for just a couple questions here. So let's just jump right into it. And Antoine wants to know, what path to playing time is there for Ryan Niblett and Gallette?
It's a great question, Bobby. Ryan Niblett, Sarkisian mentioned him in the interview with Greg McElroy earlier this week. Niblett had a really good sliding catch in the spring game on an Arch Manning intermediate route there. Ryan Niblett, 195, 200 pounds, really fast kid, needed time to develop as a route runner. Look, it's a big August for those guys coming up, Bobby. I like that Ryan Niblett didn't transfer and stayed. I think that speaks to his competitive spirit. I think it also speaks to how much Texas likes Ryan Niblett's upside. I'm very interested to see how much Sark expands, as Rod Babers calls it, the circle of trust this year. It's going to expand. How much is it going to expand in that wide receiver rotation? And then guys are going to have to continue to have a little patience and get one more year in the program. And if they do, if they'll stick on their developmental part of the plan, they have a chance to be really good players at Texas. The guys that kind of don't stick with the plan, I think this year, if there's some adversity, maybe they're not playing as much as they want. I think that's going to be some difficult conversations. Some difficult decisions, but I like Ryan Niblett as a player. He's just got to continue on his developmental path. He's got so much speed at that compact, powerful size. Darren Gillette will be interesting, Bobby. I mean, I think we heard good things in the spring. You heard some good things in the summer. Where will that take him next year?
I think Gillette is on a better course right now, or a more likely course right now, of being a significant contributor to Texas than Niblett. I think, and I know they play two different positions, but just based on not only who's ahead of them right now, but who's in the pipeline behind them, Niblett's going to have, it's going to be a competitive situation at slot receiver at Texas. Period, full stop. Highly, highly competitive from here until the cows come home, as long as Steve Sarkisian's here. Okay. Gillette's a little bit different in that I think he's an heir apparent of sorts right now to the other outside linebacker. You know, maybe Anthony Hill kind of usurps that and Leon Galafau takes the inside role over and Anthony Hill kicks back out. I don't know. But Gillette, in my opinion, Jerry, is closer. That's what I would say to that comment.
And then we have a question from Heoli Brioli 93. He says, at edge, out of Simmons and Vosick, which has more snaps and who has more sacks?
Simmons.
Right. Yeah, you think overall? So here's the I could see a situation where Vosick plays more because of his ability against the run, Jerry, but I don't see a situation where Simmons doesn't have more sacks. That makes sense?
Like, yeah, and I think Vosick, for me, will continue to be a wild card. Got to stay healthy. Had a really good last half of the spring. Got to stay healthy. But I think his potential issue this year, again, it's patience for some of these guys. When you recruit this level of talent, is Baron Sorrell and Ethan Burke are more experienced players ahead of you. What does Colin Simmons bring that Baron Sorrell and Ethan Burke don't have is that twitch pass rush, right? I get what you're saying from a snap standpoint. I just wonder, Trey Moore's going to play a lot. That's going to eat up a lot of snaps anybody else was going to have. Colin Simmons is going to have his key role and I think play a lot as the year moves along and a lot early. I think it's just about being patient for some of these guys. I think Colton Vosick's ceiling's very high. I think his floor is high, but I think his ceiling's high if he can stay healthy. But Baron Sorrell, Ethan Burke, very experienced. Justice Finkley, very experienced against the run. So that's who you're competing with for snaps if you're Colton Vosick. I think Trey Moore and Simmons, those guys are locked into what they're going to be doing.
Our final question for today, guys, we got to get out of here since we're doing either or on some of these players. Isaac says, who do we expect to see more playing time from, LaFau or Gillette?
Barring injury, I think LaFau. I think he's going to see every third or fourth series, Jerry. They're going to rotate him in. I don't know that Gillette at the outset will be a rotational player because Maurice Blackwell came back. And with Blackwell, I think you'll see him paired with LaFau while Hill and Benda get the start.
Yeah, I think LaFau plays a lot. He's very instinctive, flows to the football really well, has long arms, good in space, good in coverage. I really like Leonga LaFau long term.
Smart football player too, Gary. Gets in passing lane. One of the things we get told about him a lot is he's smart about getting into passing lanes and getting into his drops. A little bit like not the same build, but a little bit like Jalen Ford did. So keep that in mind.
UT boy, good morning.
And on that note, guys, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by BKCW. We want to thank them along with Babbel and Manscaped for sponsoring today's show. Thank you all for tuning in for the great questions, the super chat. Be sure, if you haven't already, to hit that like and subscribe button. Especially with announcements coming up, you don't want to miss a thing. So ring that bell so you're notified anytime and every time that we go live or that we post a video. And then, Bobby, real quick, tell them why they should head on over to ontexasfootball.com as well.
Yeah, absolutely. ontexasfootball.com is your source when there's any kind of breaking news or when we're not online talking about Texas football, you can actually visit our website, Jerry, CJ posting up to the minute comments. There's a lot of stuff today from the Manning Passing Academy. We had some video yesterday that CJ posted. Go to ontexasfootball.com. It's $20 off if you use the promo code OTFOG. $20 off if you use the promo code OTFOG. It's just $39.95 for a year. By far the best deal out there. Again, ontexasfootball.com. Jerry, a lot of recruiting news going on. You're writing stuff every hour on the hour, it seems like. So, guys, head on over there. Hopefully, we'll be back a little bit later today. Josiah Sharma at 2 o'clock announces his decision. We'll be live here at 1 o'clock. Then also Dijon Lee. Don't forget about that. Texas may be sneakily involved there. The defensive back out of Southern California. A lot of people think he's going to Alabama. But there's some ties there to Steve Sarkisian. I think some people may be underestimating a little bit.
There you go. All right, guys. Well, that, like I said, that'll be it for today. But be sure to tune in later. Lots of news happening all weekend. The guys will be out there for the SEC celebration, as they said, as well. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you Monday morning.
Welcome.